timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney, and the truth is I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare, and I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing. Attorneys, this was meant to be funny, so please don't sue me, especially my friend Kenneth from Black River Falls, Wisconsin.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454. 800-613-5454.
Good morning. It's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. The Archdiocese of Baltimore is in the process of organizing its third gun buyback event. The Archdiocese is partnering with the city police for the buyback, which is scheduled to take place on August 9th at the West Side Shopping Center on Frederick Avenue. The Archdiocese says its previous two buybacks resulted in the removal of more than 600 guns from the streets of Baltimore. More information will be released once the event details have been finalized. And police say a woman is dead after she was struck by a school bus in Rossville. Police say the accident happened just before 2 p.m. Wednesday at Philadelphia and Ridge Roads, and the victim was pronounced dead at the scene. Police say there were no children on the bus at the time of the crash. And the Independent Investigations Division of the Maryland Attorney General's Office is investigating a fatal police-involved crash in Baltimore. Stein on Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
My name's Danny Manoff, and I am the president and CEO of Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. We're a unique company that helps attorneys run their practices more efficiently as certified Clio partners. And more importantly, we also help the average person that can't afford or doesn't want to use an attorney to deal with their legal issues. If you're a pro se litigant, we always feel you should seek counsel, but if you want to proceed with the help of experts, please be in touch. IPSvirtual.com. Thank you again.
Get to dash in and treat your taste buds to their brand new mouth-watering parfait. They're talking creamy low-fat, Yoplait yogurt, mixed berries, and crunchy granola. It's healthy, wholesome, and made fresh every day at Dash Inn.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
It'll be the O's and Mariners this afternoon at 3:40 p.m. as the Birds try to extend their season-high winning streak to six games on getaway day in Seattle. Baltimore won their fifth in a row last night, courtesy of a game-breaking two-run triple from Heston Kerstad in the seventh. Adley Rutschman added a solo blast.
It's awesome. We're playing good ball right now. Pitching is doing amazing. Hitters are picking up runs late, and just feels like things are flowing a little bit.
Meanwhile, Ravens running back Derrick Henry making news. The King on the Dan Patrick Show reflecting on his big season a year ago. And then the conversation turned to movie stars. Henry revealing he's a huge fan of Adam Sandler. Patrick tells Henry he knows Sandler very well. So the King makes a request.
If you ever see him again, tell him I'm a really big fan. I'd really love to meet him one day.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text him today and ask if he'll send a video.
Please.
And then I'm going to send it to the Ravens.
Okay, cool. I'm a huge fan.
Okay. And if you get to 2,000 yards, I'll get you in a Sandler movie.
All right, cool. Say no more.
Beginning with The Waterboy in 1998, Dan Patrick has appeared in more than 10 of Sandler's movies, and who knows, the King may be coming to a theater near you. Coming up in 30 minutes, Maryland head basketball coach Buzz Williams learns two new words. And that is Stein on Sports.
Spring is here, and so is your $69 AC checkup from Metropolitan Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. As a family-owned, fully licensed company with 32 years' experience, we can service all makes and models. Whether it's a new install, a quick repair, or custom ductwork, we're going to give you a wow feeling when we're done. And here's a bonus wow for our new customers. Mention WCBM, and you'll get $500 off a brand new air conditioning system. Call 410-902-9600. 410-902-9600. Call Metropolitan Plumbing, Heating, and Air now. And when we're done, you'll be saying wow.
Here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
From the Fox 45 Weather Authority team, I'm meteorologist Justin Chambers. Starting off mild for your Thursday morning with temperatures in the 60s and even some low 70s this morning. Heating up this afternoon, looking for highs in the upper 80s. Could be close to 90 once again with more humidity as well. Tracking our next weather maker as rain showers roll in this weekend. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Justin Chambers for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
73 degrees in Bel Air, 78 in Halethorpe, and 74 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Plasic Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Andrew Langer in for Kim today. I'll be back tomorrow for a good old Friday. I've always love coming in, and tomorrow will be as action-packed as today's show as well. Lots of fun, more small business talk tomorrow. I'll tease more of that later on. And by the way, you like what you hear. If you're not following me on Facebook or on Twitter, Twitter's probably the best place to do it, or as X, as the young people call it, at Andrew underscore Langer on X. You know, in addition to the media work that I do, I am director of the Center for Regulatory Freedom at CPAC. So I do the regulatory issues. I am also the director for them of the Coalition Against Socialized Medicine. So I want to talk about these numbers. You know, that's what tends to occupy a lot of my time. You know, I spend a lot of time dealing with these things. And yes, you should never do math on the air. Public policy generally, because that's obviously of great fascination to me and of great importance at the end of the day. I also, media-wise, I do a couple of different podcasts. You all know Andrew and Jerry Save the World, the one that I did with the coach, though we are woefully behind on doing the show. We're going to do one next week. Jerry and I were talking about that. And then I do the Federal Newswire's Lunch Hour podcast. And really, you're going to want to check out that show. 45-minute weekly deep dive into public policy issues. This week I sat down with Leslie Knight, retired Air Force Colonel, Bronze Star winner, to talk about DEI and woke policies and being thoughtful about how we encourage mentorship and sponsorship and not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. This coming Monday, Donald Koshin, who's a professor at George Mason Law School, talking about property rights issues, among other things. Anyway, all good stuff. In fact, tomorrow I'll tease the episode that's coming up. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Shankar Singham, who is the head of the Growth Commission. He's a British gentleman, an economist and political science scholar. Anyway, going to be talking to him about trade and regulation. So very, very excited about that. So that's the Lunch Hour with the Federal Newswire. Go and check those things out. As we've said, you could join the conversation today, 410-922-6680. You can message me on Facebook, facebook.com/AndrewLangerShow. You can also email me andrewmlanger@gmail.com. I got a thing over email or a Facebook Messenger. This is from John the Firefighter in Baltimore, writes, Andrew, I would love to see the total fiscal cost for these illegal aliens, housing them, feeding them, educating them, and providing medical care, too, on top of everything else they get. Cell phones, money for paying utility bills. Imagine how much money we could save if every bit of that was cut out. And this is the question. Again, getting into this issue of the most well-intentioned policies bumping up against very real reality. Right. You know, last summer, at the height of the election season, there was this discussion of that town in Ohio in which the president talked about they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. That was the song. Your hit of the summer. And it obviously the president's remarks, or then candidate Trump, his remarks took precedent. And of course, it was, the focus became on, are they eating dogs? Are they eating cats? Blah, 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 so on and so forth, without recognizing the greater and more important issue that John asks about, which is the impact here. So I don't remember if I did it on this show. I know I did it when I filled in for Tony Katz. I think I did it on this show last summer, in the summer run last year, where I had on a reporter from an Indianapolis TV station talking about Logansport, Indiana, which is a town very near and dear to my heart. It's a smaller city, smaller municipality, I think maybe 70,000 people. Not huge, not particularly tiny, but they'd had this massive influx of migrants. And they were legal migrants, right? They were here from Haiti seeking asylum. And what nobody recognized was the inherent cost in educating, the social services that needed to go along. And John asks an important question here. And it's one that, you know, the left will label as xenophobic, but it's not. In the same way, right, that you can have folks in a rural community who are concerned about traffic, or they're concerned about environmental impact, or they're concerned about things from development. Sometimes it gets masked as just trying to keep outsiders out. But there are legitimate questions that get asked in terms of when you increase infrastructure, even if someone else pays for the infrastructure to be developed, you know, the maintenance, ongoing maintenance of that infrastructure costs money, and that can have an impact on budgets, et cetera, et cetera. So these are important questions that get asked here. And so, you know, then you get into the issue of illegal immigrants who are getting federal tax dollars for a variety of things. And how does that impact all of these things? Let's go back, in fact, Brian, and play cut number 8, please. Talking about illegal immigration. Let's go ahead and play cut number 8.
GOP lawmakers have defended some of their budget bills, Medicaid reforms, by highlighting preliminary CBO projections of roughly 1.4 million illegal immigrants losing their coverage under state-funded health programs. Is reducing federal Medicaid payments to states that provide coverage to undocumented immigrants a reform that you would support?
The bottom line is, this overall bill is so awful. If they want to aim, if they got some specific issues,
So the short answer is no, right? No, I'm not going to support a bill that cuts that, because for them, illegal migrants are of vital importance. And then you get into the hysteria. I had a long conversation with Jerry about this yesterday morning, as we're wont to do, as we're talking, talking about, you know, conversations that we've had, with folks who, obviously, a lot of whom are dependent on federal spending, and they don't want to see federal spending cut in their particular areas, so they're going to panic over things. So here is Chuck Schumer's cute way of doing this. Let's go ahead and play cut number 9.
And we all know one thing. Donald Trump is just lying about the bill. Lying about the bill.
He's just lying about it.
Well, here's the "we are all going to die" act.
I mean, I'm sorry. Even if we were just talking about it hyperbolically, I think calling it the "We Are All Going to Die" Act is a little over the top on this. And it'd be one thing if it was just Chuck Schumer, right? Who is, shall we say, in the twilight of his age. And he's from New York, right? But our own Glenn Ivey from Maryland's 4th Congressional District, well, he can't resist getting in the act. Here is Glenn Ivey at a congressional hearing. Let's go ahead and play cut number 10.
Statement or whatever.
All of the above, maybe. I don't know. But my colleague there, I made me think of Bill Gates's quote. He just said, the wealthiest man in the world is basically killing the poorest kids in the world by making these cuts. You're sort of executing that. I appreciate the comment that was made there, but we really can't sugarcoat this. More people are going to die. And if I think I heard what you said there, prevention's going to get less funding than it currently is. And I think in every model, prevention is better than trying to cure it after a disease is contracted. But
okay. I mean, understanding that folks like Glenn Ivey, I mean, setting aside the hyperbole for a minute, right? He's going to kill kids, which is just an insane way of focusing on this, especially after what we went through with COVID and what we now understand. Glenn Ivey and his colleagues have created the healthcare problem in America. They have created it and they have exacerbated it. You know, whether it is the issue of driving people out of private insurance, and I don't think this is an insurance problem. I think there is an insurance problem in America. Obviously, the cost of insurance, but some of that has to do with the fact that we just don't understand what insurance is. But the reality is, and you've all heard me talk about this before, this is a resource economics problem. The widget, the resource, is the amount of time that a medical professional spends in front of a patient. That is the definition of medical care, right? He's talking about preventative care. When you increase demand for a good and supply is decreased and you try to drive down the price of that good artificially, you accelerate the number of people who get out of supplying that good, so you make the problem worse. That has been happening, and I have said this for, no joke, folks, 17 years since the 2008 election, I've been talking about this. Barack Obama's first election, I've been talking about this issue. I said then, we could give everybody in America Andrew Langer's health insurance, and it wouldn't be worth the paper it was printed on because we did not have, at the time, enough medical care to go around. And we still don't. The problem's gotten worse. And folks like Glenn Ivey have no interest in solving this problem, doing what needs to be done. And you know how I know this? Because Glenn Ivey's brethren, they raided Medicare to the tune of $250 billion to pay for Joe Biden's Green New Deal. That's not hyperbolic. That's not misstating the facts. That is admitted, right? Joe Biden said it. The Inflation Reduction Act was merely the Green New Deal repackaged. He said it. Yeah, you know, he could have not known what he was talking about. That's, I suppose, fair. But if Terrell is willing to admit that, then maybe we got something here. But let's assume for a moment that Terrell is right and Joe Biden is perfectly in control of his faculties. He said it. The IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, was merely the repackaged Green New Deal. Raided Medicare to the tune of $250 billion. Glenn Ivey didn't say diddly squat about it. His brethren didn't say diddly squat about it. And yet he has the unmitigated gall to say that it's Republicans and Elon Musk who are killing kids. Now, I never got out there and said that raiding Medicare was going to cause the deaths of kids. I suppose I could have, but I don't engage in that kind of hyperbole. I focus on solving problems, not standing in the way. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the reactions to the big, beautiful bill, this CBO score issue. I want to hear from you. 410-922-6680. By the way, we got a poll up. Do you agree with Elon Musk's call to stop Trump's big, beautiful bill? WCBM.com is how you go and answer that poll. I'm Andrew Langer, in for Kim Klasick. This is WCBM AM 680.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Joining me in studio, Dr. Alyssa Segev from Audiology Associates. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, who can wear an over-the-counter hearing aid? I'm seeing ads for these things all the time.
Yeah.
Who can use them?
So over-the-counter hearing aids are really meant to give accessibility to patients who otherwise wouldn't have it. The problem is that a good over-the-counter hearing aid is still about $2,000 to $2,500, wow, if not more, because they're still hearing aids, right? The cheap ones are just amplifiers, and that's too cheap is too cheap. So you still want some quality in that, mm-hmm, unit. I really think they're geared towards someone who has a mild hearing loss, someone who doesn't need it all the time but is struggling in noise. A lot of the times as we age, we have struggle in noise, but hearing is normal. And then you can use those for those situational uses. But what we don't want is patients who are now purchasing over the counter because they think that is a supplement for what we can provide as a prescription hearing aid, and they're completely different. The things you can purchase are not even close to what we have in our offices that are true prescription hearing aids, and they are meant for a lifestyle versus situational use. And that is where, if you really are frustrated, I think it's always worth coming in, and then we can decide. If it's really mild, we're like, go try it, right? You're not ready yet, but this can be really helpful for when you you need it for X, Y, and Z, versus patients who like struggle all the time and need to hear their family and the doorbell and the TV. And really the best thing to do is to come in and then we kind of review the options with you.
Very quick follow-up question, and that is for those people who are getting an over-the-counter, does it deal with background noise, yes or no?
Yes, but not a tremendous amount, right? There's some factors on there for technology, but it's not strong.
All right, Dr. Melissa Segev, Audiology Associates. When silence is not golden, you're going to want to see Audiology Associates. Online, you'll find them at aaiaudiology.com, or you can certainly call 410-944-3100. Again, that's 410-944-3100, Audiology Associates, the sound choice in hearing healthcare.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
We are back. I just sent Brian the mastered song of Eating the Dogs and Eating the Cats. We'll play that later on in the show. We got so much to get to, though, right now. We're talking about the big, beautiful bill and what's going back and forth. And, of course, it rocketed around the internet landscape yesterday about the CBO scoring of the bill and the back and forth over this. And Russ Vaught was up in Congress on here. But let's start here with someone who's critical of the bill, and I get this, and he's not wrong about this. Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, talking about the problem. We're going to talk more about this with Carolyn Boudreau in a couple minutes. Let's play cut number 11.
How would that help your case or your cause by splitting it into two? How would you do it?
Good morning. Well, first of all, we'd actually have time to do the work to forensically audit every line in the federal budget, every program. You know, there are over 2,600 programs in the federal budget. We haven't taken the time. You know, DOE showed us how to do this, so we ought to follow their example. But, you know, the bottom line is this is a budget reconciliation process pretty well devoid of actually talking about numbers. About the only number we heard out of the House was $1.5 trillion, which sounds like a lot until you put it in context of the CBO's 10-year projection of $89 trillion being spent, $22 trillion of projected deficit over the next 10 years. That's a $2.2 trillion deficit per year, completely unsustainable, not even coming close to returning to a reasonable pre-pandemic level spending. So again, we're just not taking the time to actually debate this. And by the way, I heard earlier discussions of AI. I'm using AI. For example, this morning, again, using that basic CBO projection.
We can end it there. We can end it there. Obviously, we're going to get into the issue of CBO and dynamic scoring. And we could talk about the issue of economic growth. And obviously, I don't want to throw a lot of numbers at you. I'm going to throw some at you. If we're not adding, $1.8 trillion in new regulatory costs, on average, let's say, whatever that is divided by four. So just under $4 trillion a year. Just under $5 trillion a year. Just over $4 trillion a year. Nope. See, this is why you don't do math on the air. If we're not adding somewhere above $400 billion a year in added regulatory costs, that has an impact. We know that for every dollar in direct regulatory costs, there's a $19 multiplier in lost opportunity cost. And by that, I mean, if you mandate that some business owner spends time or money on some government mandate, that's time or money that they can't spend on the productive side of their business. Right. So if you force them to spend $15,000 to buy an electric pizza oven at a pizza restaurant, a pizzeria. Right. That's $15,000 that they can't spend on something that might make their business more productive, to produce more pizzas, or on hiring somebody part time, you know, on a Friday evening in the fall when it's crunch time, to make more pizzas.
right? These things have an impact. So again, it gets into the issue of opportunity cost. I pointed out to somebody yesterday, if you run a law firm or an accounting firm, and you have to spend time doing added paperwork, you can't, spend that time, engaged in the billable side of your business. Anyway, so obviously these things have an impact on revenue down the road, right? You grow GDP, you grow revenue to the government. This gets into the issue of dynamic scoring. Let's go here, because Mike Rounds, who's a senator from Montana, Republican senator from Montana, he talks about the inadequacies of CBO scoring and their record in all of this. And he's not wrong here. Let's go ahead and hear cut number 12.
Concerned that this bill is fiscally irresponsible?
Look, I view this bill as doing exactly the opposite. First of all, the CBO doesn't use dynamic scoring. They reject the idea that if you continue the existing tax rate at their current structure, which is what this bill does, that we'll have any improvement in the economy. We already know that we're going to get an improvement in the economy just by improving the confidence of investors that we're going to have a long-term permanent tax rate in place. The second piece on it is that if you grow the economy, you will bring in more revenue than if you don't. And finally, when they talk about this debt going down, what they're saying is yes, if you raise the average tax on an American family by $2,400 a year, I'm most certain that those folks would love to be able to claim that they're happy to pay a part of the debt down. Bottom line is American families can't afford another $2,400 increase in their taxes. That's on a per family basis in South Dakota. No, we're not going to do that to the American public. We're going to continue this existing tax rate at the current tax rate it is. And in doing so, we will grow this economy. Of that, we are convinced we are right.
All right, real quick, let's hear what Russ Vaught had to say. We'll come back to the issue of debts and deficits later on, but real quick, Brian, let's play Russ Vaught for...
Just a quick follow-up. Do you believe that CBO's estimate of President Trump's one big, beautiful bill accurately represents the benefits that it will provide to the American people and the fiscal course correction that it will provide our nation?
No, I think it's fundamentally wrong. I stated that today. It will lead to reduced deficits and debt of $1.4 trillion. It will reduce mandatory savings of $1.7 trillion. And I don't think the way they construct their baseline, not only does it give a fair shake to economic growth, but it fundamentally misreads the economic consequences of not extending current law tax relief. I mean, the degree to which we would have a recession or worse if the tax relief is not extended is something that they just fundamentally do not factor into their analysis.
Okay, we can end it there. I mean, that's fundamentally important as well, all of these things. Listen, we're going to have a conversation with Carolyn Boudreau, actually is a former Democrat, now dealing with fiscal issues with the Concord Coalition. We're going to talk to her about this and her perspective on spending. And we'll talk more about that later. I'm Andrew Langer, in for Kim Klasick. This is WCBM AM 680.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump says his conversation today with Chinese leader Xi came to a very positive conclusion. Mr. Trump says the two countries will hold trade talks, hoping to break an impasse over tariffs and global supplies of rare earth minerals. President Trump has ordered an investigation into whether there was a cover-up of President Biden's cognitive state toward the end of his term in the White House. The U.S. Supreme Court is blocking Mexico's $10 billion lawsuit alleging American gunmakers helped to fuel cartel violence south of the border. Having trouble breathing lately? If so, you're not the only one. The National Weather Service says the culprit is those Canadian wildfires that continue to burn. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow trading about 131 points higher. More details, srnnews.com.
Comcast Business is celebrating Small Business Month by giving you a $1,000 small business bonus when you switch to a qualifying gig speed package from the company with over 99.99% network reliability. Just imagine the thousands of possibilities of a $1,000 prepaid card. Like possibility number one, company merch for staff. Stylin'. Or possibility number 24, the latest software. Upgrade. Possibility number 192, new equipment powered by gig speeds. Or possibility number 555, a 3D printer. Rapid prototyping, anyone? Switch to Comcast Business for over 99.99% network reliability, advanced cybersecurity, and now get started with a $1,000 small business bonus. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
And 622.25, new customers only with two-year agreement. Other restrictions apply.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
The Orioles' long road back to respectability continued last night in Seattle with a 3-2 win over the Mariners. Heston Kerstad with a big hit, a two-run seventh-inning triple, giving the O's the lead. And then it was mountain time in the ninth.
And Teles clubs it in the air, out to center field. Adams back on the track, makes the catch to finish the ball game. Felix Bautista catches in the save.
Ben Wagner with the call on Masson. Bautista's 11th save in 12 chances, and the Birds have now won five in a row. They go for six this afternoon at 3:40 with Zach Eflin on the hill. Meanwhile, Buzz Williams learned something new on Tuesday. The Maryland men's basketball coach held a Zoom call with fans and alumni, and in the Q&A portion got a little language lesson. We'll pick it up with a comment and question relayed to Williams by a Maryland Athletic Department official who was moderating the event.
He says, "Mazel tov for renewing your vows. Where do I send NIL money to your program?
Thanks for your willingness to invest. What did you say the first words were, John? I don't know.
Mazel tov.
What does that mean?
Congratulations. Hebrew.
I like that. We need that as a hashtag on Saturday.
Okay, so if you're going to coach in this part of the country, at Maryland no less, you've got to know what Mazel Tov means. Coming up in 30 minutes, the Edmonton Oilers are trying to do something that no Canadian team has done in 32 years. And that is Stein on Sports.
My name's Danny Manoff, and I am the president and CEO of Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. We're a unique company that helps attorneys run their practices more efficiently as certified Clio partners. And more importantly, we also help the average person that can't afford or doesn't want to use an attorney to deal with their legal issues. If you're a pro se litigant, we always feel you should seek counsel. But if you want to proceed with the help of experts, please be in touch. IPSvirtual.com. Thank you again.
From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, we are in for another hot summer-like day as temperatures rise to the upper 80s. We'll have plenty of sunshine, a few clouds moving by the afternoon. As we head into tomorrow, we'll start off with a dry forecast. Temperatures rise to the mid-80s by the afternoon, but we have the next chance of rain late tomorrow night, lasting into Saturday. We'll have another chance of rain on Sunday. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Jasmine Lomax for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Some people just know you could save money on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Those people are probably saving a carload of cash right now. So what are you waiting for? Check Allstate first for a quote today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Get to Dash Inn and treat your taste buds to their brand new mouth-watering parfait. They're talking creamy low-fat, Yoplait yogurt, mixed berries, and crunchy granola. It's healthy, wholesome, and made fresh every day at Dash Inn.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and coworkers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
So we've been spending a lot of time this morning talking about the big, beautiful bill and the good things and the bad things and the issue of deficits and debt. And we're going to come back to what Russ Vaught had to say about this up on the Hill yesterday. But joining us right now is Dr. Carolyn Boudreau. She is the executive director of the Concord Coalition and the Concord Coalition Action Fund, which is an organization that focuses on the issues of balanced budgets and spending. We're gonna ask her what the Concord Coalition itself, what that statement was all about. She's a podcast host. Most importantly, in addition to her undergraduate degree from Yale, she's got a master's in public administration, which I have as well. But you know, Dr. Boudreau, let's talk about the Concord Coalition and why it was founded and why you joined after your tenure in Congress.
Great. Well, good to be on the show.
Thanks.
So Concord Coalition really got its start back in the 1990s when there was a big push to really try to balance the budget. And they were founded by a Republican and a Democratic senator joining together. And the idea was to really educate the public about the debt, the deficit, and the challenges that the country faced, and to try to push towards a balanced budget. So I've joined, just started back in March because the problem has gotten out of hand. And I actually have my PhD in public administration with a focus in public finance. And so spent most of my life working on state budgets and helped balance those. And so when I went to Congress, was a little bit shocked by the situation in Washington. And so feel a real commitment to trying to get the country back on track.
Well, you know, I was going to make the tongue-in-cheek comment that, you know, obviously the Concord Coalition is several decades old now. And, of course, we solved this problem years ago, but we haven't. And, you know, I got to ask this question earlier, not that you need to talk about partisanship, and extremist partisanship and the future political parties. But one of the points that I made in response to this question from a listener was this is part of how we get this accretion that's at work here, is that things sort of break down and we're not interested in solving problems. And this is, you know, we continue to kick the can down the road. There's an inherent problem in that. Talk about kicking the can, but to also talk about how the structurally this, you know, this is how it gets perpetuated.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're in Congress, you get a lot of benefits, you know, but voters are more excited about, you know, getting the good things,
right?
Having Social Security expanded, having Medicare expanded, you know, spending money on education, all the great things that the country does. They're excited about tax cuts, you know, same thing. They are not excited about raising taxes. They are not excited about reducing entitlements, which are really the big spending drivers that's happening. But I would say, so if there's this built-in political incentive, right, to keep kicking the can down the road, saying, okay, we're just not going to do it now. But I will say we started doing these sort of town halls all over the country, and people get it. You know, they get it. And if there was a effort, if there was some leadership saying, hey, we cannot keep going this way, and we're all going to have to put a shoulder to the wagon to address this issue, I mean, I think people would be willing to do it. We'll be willing to chip in a little bit, you know, to get us to a good spot. But we have to start out. We have to have that leadership in the first place.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know my friends in the anti-tax community or the tax sensibility community would say, well, you know, we've been down this road where we've negotiated this and we've said, OK, well, we won't be on board with oppose a tax increase. Or we talk about this issue. We want to see spending cuts first. We've been promised spending cuts first. And then once the tax increases go in, they don't get the spending cuts. I mean, is there a way to do the two of these things together? I mean, not that I want to see taxes raised. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, one of the problems we have is the spending cuts never seem to quite materialize. And again, not to get partisan, but we've got this spending package that's up in Congress right now. We are continuing to spend at COVID levels. COVID is over. If we can't sharply curtail federal spending now, when can we?
Right. Well, the thing, the rub always is that the spending that is big, the big numbers, and you have to hit the big numbers in some way, shape, or form. Is Social Security and Medicare, and some in Medicaid, right, which is in part of the current reconciliation bill out there. But those are the big guys. And one of the things we've been doing, we have an aging population. We have been enhancing those benefits over the past 25 years. And we have to take a look at those programs and find ways to restructure, right?
Right.
To bend the cost curve. And that's where everybody freezes up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I run a coalition called the Coalition Against Socialized Medicine, the public policy work that I do. And yeah. One of my great focuses, foci, is on the issue of, and I was just explaining this to the listeners a little earlier, on this healthcare issue as a resource economics problem, right? We don't have enough doctors, nurses, and physicians' assistants. And in fact, we're driving physicians out of the healthcare marketplace. And, you know, I think we should have been for years now. At the very least, we need to start now. We need to be doing what we can. The only way you can reduce cost to consumers in the face of increasing demand is by massively increasing supply. And again, yet nobody wants to talk about this. All they want to do is talk about health insurance. I don't know if you guys have done anything on this, but obviously, I to me, if we're just talking about, you know, the Medicare issue without talking about the supply, we're sort of not, we're never going to solve this problem. Your thoughts here?
I mean, that may be one solution.
Yeah.
Obviously, it takes a long time to get some of that stuff in place, and you have
to make
that upfront investment, right? Which is
right.
Cost money, right? I would say, you know, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit in our healthcare system where we could restructure how we do business in ways that are not going to be, you know, a burden on recipients that much.
Right.
You know, just right now, like site-neutral payments, right? Paying the same the hospitals that you pay to, you know, outpatient doctor visits for the same procedure, right? We pay
right.
the hospital more. There's lots of stuff like that. That we could go in and fix that would save us hundreds of billions of dollars. And, you know, but we need to start putting those things on the table with great seriousness.
No, we're talking with Carolyn Boudreau. She's the executive director of the Concord Coalition, concordcoalition.org. I put out yours and the organization's Twitter handle on my ex account. So at what point, I mean, I think we've hit the point where we're at a crisis level, but what happens if we don't solve the crisis? What happens if we don't get at this gap between the amount of revenue that we are bringing in and the amount of spending that we have?
Right. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like having severe type 2 diabetes, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to project where exactly it's going to attack you. You know, are you going to have to cut off a foot? You know, are you going to lose
yes.
your eyesight? Are you going to go into have a seizure at some point, right? Which would be hyperinflation, right? In the case of an economy. It's hard to know when exactly that's going to hit. But I think everybody can imagine, right, that in 10 years at our current interest rates, 30% of the revenues that the United States of America takes in will simply go to servicing the debt.
Right.
30%. And that is like a ball and chain around our ankles, around the ankles of everybody, our children, everybody coming into the economy at that time, all of our taxpayer dollars, not going to productive things, not going to infrastructure, not going to defense, not going to the things we desperately need to invest in, but instead just paying off interest on the current benefits that we're enjoying right now. And it's just, it's not the budget of a great country.
Right. And that's just it. As I sit here and I talk about it, I was talking with former Senator Rick Santorum earlier on the show. You know, where is the money going? Right. You know, and I know we're talking about entitlements and those kinds of things. But like, yeah. We know that there's a gap between the number of ships that the Navy wants and the number of ships the Navy has. And yet the Newport News Shipbuilding has been building ships, yet they just laid off 400 people. And there's a disconnect here in all of this. And we talk about the crumbling infrastructure. And you're right, the money is going largely to entitlements. Dr. Boudreau, how do folks find out more? And Congresswoman Boudreau, how do folks find out more about the good work you guys are doing?
Yep. Please go to concordaction.org. You can also go to concordcoalition.org. Concord Coalition is our educational space. Concord Action
yes.
is where you go if you care about the budget and you want to take some action to try to
take some action. Involved. Well, listen, yeah. I got to get you in for the long form podcast, the Federal Newswire Lunch Hour podcast. We can spend a good 40 minutes talking about this. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so very much for that.
All right. Thank you.
That's Dr. Carolyn Boudreau, former member of Congress. ConcordCoalition.org is the policy website. Go and check that out. Listen, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the BBB. I am Andrew Langer. This is WCBM AM 680.
Big news, Rescue Natural Supplements is rolling back the clock and prices. The supplements you trust at prices you haven't seen in over a decade. Plus, they're offering a massive 33% off on top of already discounted 2010 rollback pricing. Every product, omega-3s, probiotics, joint support, everything. Prices roll back to get you ready for summer. Just use the code WELLNESS at checkout for 33% off your entire order on Rescue Single Bottles. To order, call Rescue Product Consultant at 800-26-ALIVE. That's 800-262-5483. Or shop online by visiting res-q.com. Feel better, get active, and turn back the clock with Rescue's 2010 pricing. Use code WELLNESS for 33% off any single bottle. That's code WELLNESS for 33% off, plus 2010 rollback pricing. Get healthy, get saving at res-q.com today.
The hottest months of the year are also the most dangerous, not just because of heat waves or storms, but because they stress the power grid to the limit. That's why My Patriot Supply created the Grid Doctor 3300 solar generator. It delivers 3300 watts of power, enough to run fridges, freezers, power tools, and more, all without gas, noise, or fumes, using free energy from the sun. And for a limited time, when you order a Grid Doctor 3300, you'll get two free 200-watt waterproof solar panels, a bonus worth $894. To claim your free panels before this offer ends, shop MyPatriotSupply.com/radio. Whether it's summer blackouts, hurricanes, or just peace of mind in uncertain times, the Grid Doctor Solar Generator has your back. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com/radio, MyPatriotSupply.com/radio, and secure your Grid Doctor 3300 with two free solar panels today.
Turf Valley Resort is your perfect destination for conferences, executive meetings, and corporate retreats, offering a variety of event spaces, 172 hotel rooms and suites, two championship golf courses, full-service restaurant, and spa. Work with our experienced team of catering and event planners to meet all of your needs. Visit turfvalley.com or call 410-465-1500. Turf Valley is centrally located in the Baltimore-Washington corridor as Maryland's premier event venue.
Stop feeling embarrassed about thinning hair and start looking and feeling your best with Hair Grow by New Nordic. Available online at Amazon, Walmart.com, and NewNordicUSA.com or at your local CVS.
The Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Thursday on the show, it's official. All Chinese students in the U.S. are going to lose their visas.
No!
COVID and smuggling bioweapons didn't help, by the way.
Oakley-dokley-doo.
A 2MTG. Now MTG is saying if she'd read the Big Beautiful Bill, she wouldn't have voted for it. Cut spending.
You are high as a kite.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the
It
dogs.
Was the number one jam of last summer. The summer of 2024. What will supplant it in the summer of 2025? I don't know, but we shall see. Hi, everybody. I'm Andrew Langer in for Kim Klasick today. So glad I could join you and you can join me here on WCBM AM 680. And I play that because, again, this was the issue, and it got buried by the hype and the hyperbole. The issue is the impact on local communities and the federal government more generally, federal taxpayers more generally, of this unrestricted migration. What does it mean? You know, how does it blow up budgets? And you know, listen, even talking with Carolyn Boudreau, and I didn't want to go sort of down the road about sort of the specifics on this. I wanted to get very general with her. But, you know, in terms of, she said it, entitlement spending is out of control, and this is certainly a part of it. And if you have Chuck Schumer saying that he doesn't particularly care about the impact of 1.4 million illegals getting Medicare benefits, that's a problem, or Medicaid benefits. That's a problem. But as I was saying, Russ Vaught was up on Capitol Hill yesterday, and he is the director of the Office of Management and Budget. I have a great deal of respect for him and the work that he does. He also was talking about debt and deficits. Let's hear cut number 14.
And in that role, how important is America's debt and deficit to you?
Huge. I mean, we have an enormous problem ahead of us with regard to the debt that we're facing as a country. It's hanging over us. It's causing massive interest costs each and every year to keep growing. And the impact that it can suddenly cause much worse situation than we've seen thus far is still always out there as a possibility. It's one of the reasons we have to pass this bill to be able to begin to get a handle on the spending that has been on autopilot. That
we're going to get into
members
that
have been calling attention
about
to.
30.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. And, you know, Carolyn Boudreau helped particularize all of this. If you get to a point where 30%, you know, almost a full third of the revenue of the federal government goes to service the debt, that is a problem. That is money that can't be spent elsewhere. And the problem is, listen, I we can't tax our way out of this. And I'm not in a position where I'm prepared to accept a tax increase without some recognition. And the Democrats are not serious about cutting spending, not cutting spending to pre-COVID levels. And we have to get at that. And we have to get at these other issues. Where is the money going? You know, before we get back into what Russ Vaught had to say, because I spend a lot of time thinking about this. I have written about the issue of this thing called the Jones Act. I've talked about it on the air. This is this law that serves to protect America's shipbuilding industry. I'm going to be on a panel next week at Freedom Fest in which one of my colleagues is going to be talking about this. Kind of a catch-all panel at Freedom Fest. And, you know, one of the questions that I have fundamentally, and I'm someone who believes in the importance of an act like the Jones Act, right? We have national security interests in protecting American shipbuilding and protecting American ship repair and, frankly, protecting America's ports and America's internal waterways from foreign carriers who can be co-opted by foreign intelligence services. I don't want Chinese ships patrolling or you know, going up and down the Mississippi River or any other major navigable waterway, right? Even if they can, you know, save Americans huge amounts of money in terms of shipping costs, nevertheless, we have a vested interest in this. But I am also concerned as I think about this, because America is building fewer ships and we aren't really involved in the business of ship repair, even with the existence and maintenance of the Jones Act. And so we have to have a conversation about these things. Why is it that in the face of, you know, a need for building naval ships, military ships for the U.S. Navy, you know, a major shipbuilder on the East Coast is laying off hundreds of employees because of cost overruns, et cetera, time overruns and whatever. But we have to get at the root cause of these things. Why is it costing us so much, even with federal outlays? Why is it taking them extra time? Is it a regulatory problem? I don't have an answer to that, guys. I'm just asking the questions. But Russ particularized why what is at stake here. Let's go ahead and play cut number 15.
If H.R. 1 fails, if whatever comes back from the Senate fails to get to the desk of the president and signed into law, what happens at the end of this year?
I think we'll have a recession. I think we will be economic storm clouds will be very dark. I think we'll have a 60% tax increase on the American people. And just to, if I could answer Congressman Hoyer's question or statement, the notion that this bill, I mean, we've been actually criticized unfairly for on the reconciliation bill for the fact that it is all mandatory savers. I mean, you said, look, we need to address the mandatory side of the house. There's $1.7 trillion in mandatory savers on the reconciliation bill. Do we need to do things on the appropriation side, the discretionary side? Yes, that's what we're here to talk about with rescissions and the bill that we've the budget that we've sent up to you. But we have to get back to what we did in 1997, where we had for the first time substantial mandatory reforms around not just cutting people and just getting people off programs, but reforms,
right?
Work requirement. We're using
right,
the same model.
And that's the other part of this, right, is the Democrats standing in the way of forcing work requirements, the stuff that the Democrats have supported in the past. Now, I got a piece that has been circulating. I've talked about air traffic control. I've had some personal experience with air traffic control problems in recent weeks. Getting ready to do it again. I had flown into Newark Airport a couple of weeks ago. Didn't get a chance to fly back out because of the ATC problems. Here is Sean Duffy, Transportation Secretary, talking about the BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill, and air traffic control. Let's play cut 16.
Yeah, so first off, it is safe. We have multiple redundancies in the system, but I think what we've talked about and what controllers are seeing as well is that we have an old system, Dan. It hasn't been updated for decades. We're using really old technology, and so it's a moment in time where we have to build a brand new air traffic control system. It'll be the biggest infrastructure project that we have going on in the country, probably the most important one in 20 years we'll do in America. And we're lucky that we have a president who cares about this issue and is willing to push this department and push the Congress and also push the business sector that deals with aviation to make sure we get it done right and get it done fast. And so
that's exactly it. What needs to happen, barring anything else and everything else when it comes to air traffic control, we need to modernize the infrastructure there. We need to spend the money in order to do that. That's vitally important in the scheme of things. So listen, guys, we've got a great show coming up tomorrow. I'm so glad I could be in to do these things tomorrow. Let me see if I can do this off the top of my head because I didn't put the list in front of me. Tomorrow we've got Kevin Keene from the American Beverage Association going to be joining us talking about the issues that industry is facing. We've got Robert Bolin. He is the National Ombudsman for Small Business. We're going to talk about what that office does and, more importantly, what they can and will be doing in the future. It's a very, very important office out there, the National Ombudsman for Small Business. We've got Shankar Singham joining us as well. He is the chairman of the Growth Commission, going to talk about the intersection of trade and regulation. If you want to follow me at Andrew_Langer on Twitter or on X, go and check out, if you like what you hear, go and check out my podcasts that are out there, Andrew and Jerry Save the World and The Lunch Hour with Federal Newswire. CPAC.org is where my regulatory work is done. Have a great night, everybody. Have fun and please stay safe. Thank you, Brian.
Nothing can be more frustrating than working hard your entire life, saving as much as possible, then watching your money go down right before retirement. Mike Kinnett, Ryan Herbert, and the team at ProStatus Financial can help. They're going to